Motion. The action or process of moving or being moved. What moves you? A continuum of progression, mastery of craft, quality, and creativity. Motion. Freedom of speech. Bravery of expression. Confidence and style. Motion. But what does it all mean? Making our true instincts our navigation. Motion.
Welcome back to the Cave of Solitude, episode 95, part 2. And my conversation with Toronto MC, one of the finest MCs that I've ever listened to, has in Motion Entertainment. Check out the flow. Check this out.
Home of made men, mommy's firstborn, poised for greatness. The city got its own Californication. I ain't California hating, but my city lights, they shine so BR. IGHT that I can't see all. My city lights, my city light, a breath of fresh air, you won't need
to. I don't want to talk over the beat or the song, but I can't spoil it for people that are going to listen to this in its full, proper version. Anyhow, last time we spoke with Haz, on part one, we were discussing some of our history, some of our reminiscing of the formation of Gates. But this time around, we're going to head into the future. We're going to talk about the formation of Motion Entertainment and the music that they're going to be putting out for us to enjoy. Now, the one thing I got to say about Haz's music that I really appreciate in comparison to what people oftentimes associate with hip-hop music is that it's mature. But it's grown people music. It's not littered with filthy language and degrading of women. It's stuff that you can listen to and not be frightened for your children to listen to as well. I can't wait for y'all to hear a lot of the music that they're putting out there. It's great stuff. And now we're going to get back into the interview. We're going to pick it up where we left off, talking a little bit about our first forays to the studios and those first couple memories of making music, but it's just to catch you up so you're not out of the loop, just to remember where you left off when you were listening to the episode. So please remember, leave us an email at caveofsolitude@outlook.com. check out Motion ENT on YouTube and Haz on SoundCloud as well. This is episode 95, part 2 of my conversation with Haz. Enjoy the show, everybody.
So you could add taxes. Y'all better buy my rookie card now, cause after this year the price ain't coming down. I'm overcharging people for what they did to my ego. Pick dead last gym class for playing Bebo. What you thought I forgot?
Nope.
Thought I would flop?
Nope.
I Jimmy Fly Snicker drop folk from the top rope. Was all fun and games, but games I ain't playing, cause playing games ain't fun when you ain't winning the game you playing. I lay low, I play post, get the ball when I want, whatever I say go. I'm the 2016 Shaq and Kobe. I don't care if we beef, bring them rings back home. Man, I'm back on my bully shit. Alumni, spit the supercalifragilisticexp one time. I quit rap, never coming back, but the homie made him. This is how the conversation went verbatim. I was in my kitchen cooking something, homie hit me up. He said, what up, said
I remember you saying that all the time. Yo, it smells like hot breath in
here. Man, I need cleanliness. It's close to godliness. Yeah, man, it was crazy back then, man. I just missed those humble beginnings. But yeah, that's how it all started out. And I guess you'll get into the Motion stuff later, but it's funny how it comes into play now.
So those early experiences of working in the studio, we went from writing rhymes, hearing a beat, trying to write something, and then going back and forth. Okay, what do you got? What do I got? And then Now you record. How did that change how you wrote? Knowing not the intangible, but the actual science behind where your verses go, doubling up, knowing how to, because we used to write rhymes and be like, not take a breath.
Yeah, and we learned a lot of hurdles, man.
Yeah.
Some hurdles, man.
And then you can hear yourself back. You're like, oh, that's not so good. So how did that change your writing style?
Right. So, you know, hey. Recording, hearing yourself, it can be agonizing.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of like your smile, right?
Yeah.
When you look in the mirror, are you really smiling? Like, do you believe it?
Yeah.
So long story short, the booth, like when you record, that's like watching yourself on game tape.
Right.
So what you think you're doing in the boxing ring or when you're shooting that jump shot and you're looking at your form, it's not, it doesn't look how it feels.
Right.
So you learn a lot of things about yourself, like my voice range, like what's a comfortable range for myself? When do I need to start using breath control?
Right.
You start learning the little tangible things that you never really took into account until after you've heard yourself. So of course this affects how you write, because if you're a student of the game, you're gonna make your little mental notes like, yeah, this, I really sound good here. Why is that? Oh, this is why? Okay, so I'm gonna start writing a little more like that. Or I really don't like how I sound here. This is not really my arena. So let me stop doing this and start rewriting. And then as you do that, you start formulating a larger repertoire.
Right.
That you can choose from now. So it's like, oh yeah, you know what? I can harmonize a little bit. Yeah. It's not going to sound really, you know, I'm not going to sound like the best harmonizer out there, but I can hold the note.
Right.
So you're confident in that arena. And then you knock that down and then you start moving into something else. Oh, I can tell a little bit of a story here.
Right.
You start adding that to your repertoire. And then you start building and building and building and building. And then you have this large catalog that you can choose from.
Right.
That you can handpick things from. So if you're taking the proper notes when you're listening to yourself, mm-hmm. after you record a song, you can only grow.
Right.
Especially if you're pushing for a new sound and growth, you can only move up.
So then we went from there. We learned how to, we heard ourselves. We knew where we were whack. Those first joints, they were whack, but you could see potential in them.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. That's a line from somewhere.
Little brother.
Okay, yes.
But then a few months later, there was all this promise of,
yeah,
oh, we're going to have you on Caravana Floats and do this and go here and you're going to perform live. And it was, yeah, a little bit of that fear of, yeah, whoa, this is going fast. But
yeah,
what was it like to hear yourself on the radio? Because that happened back then, hearing yourself on the radio.
So I almost got in a car accident that day. I remember it was I think it was in Veronica. I think they played it was a song. They had a clash of two songs. When I first heard the, are you talking about the Gates?
This is when we did the blow up anthem. It was called.
Oh man, we're taking it back. Okay,
that was the first time you're on the radio.
That is true. Right? That is true.
What's that feeling like to hear that?
It's larger than life. You really feel like you want to call your mom that day and say, Mom, we're moving. We're moving out the hood. We're pack your bags. We're moving. We're moving out the hood. It's larger than life. You know, you're really young and you're positioning yourself to be heard by your peers. You really feel like, okay, I really can do this. Like, I'm on the radio now. Like, this is a sign that I'm going places. So
I'm being played.
People can hear me. They can give me feedback. That I'm out there. They can have access to me without me physically being the one giving them the music. Like, yeah. This is
you're not huge. You're not phony about it.
This is huge. This is huge. So that was a good look. That was a good look, and that's where it all started.
So hearing yourself on the radio, was that like for you? Was it that feeling of I made it? Or was it just a taste? Like, oh, I can keep going with this.
I made a few phone calls to the family and said, our living conditions are going to change. Our living conditions are going to change.
Especially
right now.
Especially it was you and your brother too, right?
Come on, like, man.
You can't get better than that.
Come on, man. It was overwhelming, and it was a clear indication that we were going in the right direction. At that time, it was larger than life. Like, this is what you dream of, like hearing yourself on the radio.
Right.
What can be better than that, right? The next step is performing live in front of thousands or seeing your video on TV. So we're heading towards the right direction.
Right. That time, I remember us learning a lot of tangibles in the studio booth. Breath control. I remember doing like 60 takes for one verse. Making a song with
Roach P did like 70.
It's okay. Well, I remember
his double ups, man. They were rough. Roach P, we love you, but man, you kept the studio. You
made it
like,
hurt.
You made it hurt, man.
But like, I came pretty close to a Roach P session.
I mean, that's saying
a
lot, man.
I lost my voice because he just the engineer and the producer wanted the sound of the voice to be so specific, and it really taught me, like we were saying before, you hear yourself back. Oh, gotta make the best use of my voice, or double up the verse just so I sound heavier.
Yeah, yeah.
So like that whole, as much as we kind of look back at that time with certain bittersweetness because they put makeup on us.
oh, we're gonna go, we're gonna.
We don't, okay, got, we, can, don't gotta, we don't gotta go there. But
no, I want to touch on that a little bit.
Okay, but what you went on the radio, so the promise of what you wanted to become was like, oh, these guys are for real. But then when did you be like, wait, I'm not ready for that type of what you're trying to do. I'm not ready for that.
So basically, what happened with that situation was we were within a certain energy. Let's just put it. We had a certain tutelage that we were under.
Right.
And they were going for more of a shiny suit look. Let's just put it that way. And makeup was applied. makeup was applied. Vaseline on the teeth was applied. So long story short, back then I was a little more temperamental. So we had a meeting at a house. We were conducting business. I believe you were there.
Yeah, I was there. I was there.
You want to tell her or you want me to tell
it? No, this is you tell it.
So
I was there.
I just didn't like the direction we were being pushed in. And I didn't like the that if anybody watches Empire, there was like a Lucius Lion moment where, you know, I just didn't appreciate certain things. Long story short, but shout out to the help that we got back then. But long story short, there were a few words that
creative differences
that led to fist flying of some sorts.
Yeah.
And long story short, I never looked back. So yeah, it was a little situation, and you know, you go through some things and you start defining more of your character and what you stand for, your principles, your you know, your rules.
Yeah.
You draw that line for yourself as an artist, like, this is what I'm about. But I needed, or we needed rather, to go through that to realize who we really were.
Yeah. I think, too, it was a sign of humility on, as much as the fist flying went, you recognized, and we all recognized, like, the limitations of what we're ready to handle and what we still needed to learn. You weren't out to become famous and recognize off the spot. You wanted to do quality.
No,
you wanted
exactly.
to be a quality artist. And we took a step back, and I think after that point was when you really started to get your footing on songwriting and not fitting into the mold of what people expected a hip-hop artist to be, hard and, you know, always talking guns and drugs. You wanted to be, found, like,
correct.
I gotta be authentic.
Correct.
Right? We had a great studio session that time. Do you remember that one?
Then we did like six songs
six,
in one.
Seven tracks. Josh was there. We went back to the...
These are
to
facts
the,
we're saying.
To
guys.
The home studio.
Yeah.
And we had one of those creative days where I feel like I really saw, wow, this is where it could go.
Now, I remember that. You just need the right mind space, the mindset, the right energy.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just need a little bit of controversy. You need to go through something to get your blood flowing, get the juices going.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what had happened. And, you know, we put that out on the pad in the pen. We put it out on the pad, and we laid it out in the booth. And, you know, you got a feeling of where we were at that time, and it just showed in the music.
Yeah.
It's really that simple.
Yeah. Looking back, those records hold up.
They hold up.
As much as we're young and inexperienced in life, you get a sense of they understand the mechanics of this music.
Absolutely.
Have you listened to them recently? How do you feel listening back?
As far as I'm hearing, Toronto got talent. As long as I'm hearing these rappers, I'm going to keep saying Toronto the Savage. Half of these cats are subject matterless actors. And no, I ain't hating. Still a Canadian. I'm Canada's captain. Back then, that was like a few... How many years ago was that? Like,
that was 14 years
14
ago.
Years ago. So that should, you know, you could see my ego was a little bit more heightened back then, but it just goes to show you had to have it back then. But yeah, I still listen to it now because I'm still a student and I still want to perfect.
Yeah.
I listen to my music aggressively very often, and I would also share it with you a lot and ask for your opinion on what I should do and, you know, give me some ideas for creativity. So yeah, I listen to it all the time.
Nice. I
all
look back
time.
Too, and they hold up.
They
I'm
hold up.
Proud of them.
Yeah, they hold up, man.
Not to pat myself on the back, but I listen.
No, pat yourself on the back. They hold up, man.
So you took a break a little bit, Gates. You know, we never made the promised land. We had a great time doing what we did.
We did.
But took a break, went to school, did radio broadcasting.
Yes.
Became a father.
Yes.
How did those experiences change you as an artist, as a person, as a man? What did you learn? Radio broadcasting taught you a lot of skills of speech, naturally.
Right.
At the same time, you become a father.
Right.
Well, how did Tell me about that change in your life.
So music became the backdrop.
Yeah.
At that point in my life, I was trying to get my feet secure and secure a career, especially at a time when I'm having a child, right? I'm 21 at this time, right? So I'm still relatively young for having a child, right? So
right.
I'm thinking about my career, my future, and I'm thinking about something solid. So went to school, did broadcasting radio. Of course, I had my child. And that really put music on the, I don't want to say the back burner, but it wasn't type A priority anymore at that
right.
point. It was just like, I want to be there. I got to have money in my pocket. I've got to start now. So music really took a backdrop for me. It's funny, I almost got rid of all of the CDs that I used to listen to back in the day. I still have them now, though. I'm glad I didn't get rid of them. I still don't listen to them.
Yeah, there's a lot.
there's a lot of music to go through.
Back then, too.
I burned most of them off of you. Yo, Eric, you got that new Shine CD? Yeah, I burned that off of you. But yeah, it took a little bit of a backdrop for me. A really long hiatus. I'm going to say over 8 years.
But you had a couple of, like, not false starts, but you had a couple starts. I remember you calling me saying you're going to work on Tetris.
Yeah. I remember that.
And you had a couple tracks ready for that.
I remember that.
But again, it wasn't like taking top priority because you had other real things that were going on, right?
Absolutely. So, you know, life happens.
Yeah.
A lot of things personally happened in my life where I felt like I needed to do some inner reflection, self-reflection, and music just wasn't type A priority at that time. So that's why I probably had some of the false starts.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like when you hear some artist about to drop an album and then you just don't hear about it anymore. Sometimes things happen behind the scenes that you don't know about.
Yeah.
And for me, it was just personal life. It was just life happens and my priorities weren't as focused on music per se.
So I gotta ask you, and this is something that I've always thought in the back of my head, because to me, the raw talent that you had, your ability to quickly put a song together, like it was a ridiculous talent that you had established and learned.
Thank you.
Did you ever have, though, a fear of your own success? Like it would get too real too fast? Like you wanted to make music, you loved the creative process, but you weren't sure about the commitment of what it would entail to pursue it completely? Because you were good at basketball, you could have went far with that. Even when you were making music as a 20-year-old, there's a lot of potential there and promise. Was that ever in the back of your head? Because I remember there was a lyric you said, "Mama told me I'd be famous." And Youngin would reply, "Nah, Mama, I'd always be the same kid." So did you ever have that little bit of hesitation?
That is the story of my life. You know, and I feel like I'm making amends for it. So to answer your question, yes. I was always afraid of taking it to that next level. I wasn't sure if I was ready for what came with it, sort of why I relate to Jay Electronica so much. I'm very private. I'm an open book, but I'm very private. So I'm always battling with that balance. So at that time, I was really afraid of making something private for me, like writing in my room, to making it personal for everybody. And it being my career and me having to share so much of myself with everybody because, you know, I'm still somewhat private. That's kind of what brings us to today. I feel like I have to make up for that now, because that fear that I once had now is just energy of now it's the time. And it's funny you say that, because I'm working on art. I call my music art. And the content in most of my music is about, you know, breaking that barrier. 30-plus-year-old inspiring rap artists, you know what I mean? Fade to society, flower that can't blossom. So it's that self-analytical look at almost being able to touch it, you know?
Yeah.
Fear is an option. You just got to choose not to.
Yeah.
Like, you know, fear is an option.
Yeah.
But you just got to choose not to fear.
What was it that you were scared of, you think, the most? Was it a conditioning of society, like making you scared of failure, like your own success, but also failing at it?
Absolutely. That lyric that I actually quoted, it was failure is an option. You just got to choose not to. So failure is exactly what I was afraid of. But I realized that you can't fail if you don't try.
Right.
If you don't try, how can you fail? You didn't try. But now I'm realizing that not trying is the failure itself.
Yeah, there was a lyric I heard like that.
Yeah.
He who never tries never fails, but if you never try, you're a failure.
Exactly.
Right.
So it's moving up those steps that now that I'm learning, you got to give yourself a chance. You got to jump out the window with it. What do you have to lose? You know, I'm not getting any younger. It's time.
Right.
So it's time.
So you're in, now, let's moving to the now and present. You're in a good place in your life. Got a beautiful daughter. You're married. Shout out to your wife.
Yes, yes, yes.
Big support system.
Yes.
How did Motion Entertainment come together?
Wow.
Let's talk, because it's...
Wow.
The reason why I wanted to talk about all those other things building up to this is because you're going back in a lot of ways to what the nucleus was of what Motion is today.
Yes.
It needs context.
Absolutely. So... I try to keep it really low key. I don't really try to plug it too much, Motion or anything. But speaking of which, I came bearing little gifts for you.
Here we go.
You know, so just got to put that out there. That's you.
Very nice.
Okay, got you some stuff here. You guys can't see this in radio world, but
it's on the camera.
It's nice.
Ah.
Okay, we got you some things.
All right. Here we go.
And for the wife.
Wifey's got the t-shirt too.
All right.
Shout out to Dad J.
Where I'm just gift giving, y'all. I'm just gift giving. What was the question again?
I said bringing context to this conversation, it's important to set the thank you very, very much.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's putting everything into context. The nucleus is very similar to what Gates was.
Absolutely.
Taking it back to that. And I wanted to build that up to show where you were, where you came from, and how you are. It all comes back home in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So what brought you back to finally say, hey, let's get this thing going?
I quit rap, never coming back, but the homie made him. This is how the conversation went verbatim. I was in my kitchen cooking something. Homie hit me up. He said, what up? I said, what up? Pretty much that simple. So Josh, being the nucleus... Back when we were doing our Gates music, Josh and Bodie, shout outs to Bodie, shout outs to Josh.
Bodie. Yeah.
They hit me up.
All going back to high school.
This is going back to high school.
Yeah.
Man, Josh lived one door away from me. I was unit 4, he was 6. Yeah, so like...
A lot of sleepovers at both those places.
It was crazy times.
Basement to basement.
Crazy times. But it's crazy how you mentioned that with the nucleus. But yeah, Josh and Bodie hit me up and say, yo, Haz, man, we need you back.
Yeah.
We need you back. Like, we need to start something. And
draft day.
It's crazy. Yeah. We're gonna have to take pictures now. He's wearing the hat, people. They hit me up, and I was sleeping on it for a while. I was, nah, I'm good, guys. I don't really want to jump into this.
It's like that basketball thing all over again.
Absolutely. It was replaying itself, and I think that's kind of why I jumped back into it. Because my adoration for the music as well. But I felt like I was that fear thing again. And that failure thing was starting to gnaw away at me. And I said, you know what? I love what I'm doing. I love music. Let's take a stab at this. And it's crazy we're having this interview in this building, because this is the building where Motion was created.
Okay.
This is the building where Motion was created. So it's crazy how it's all coming together. So long story short, they hit me up. I slept on it for a while. I was giving them the... You know, what is this, the Heisman or what yeah. The football? Yeah, I was giving
the block.
Yeah, I wasn't ready for it. And then I came back to my senses, and from then on we started this little Motion movement that we got going on.
Did the name come from?
So I gotta give shout outs to the boy Bodie. We would have some round table meetings that we're trying to create a brand. And I think that's what a lot of artists now don't have or they're missing.
Yeah.
The branding.
Right.
There's a larger story. There's a bigger picture. There's branding. So we wanted to brand ourselves. As you can see, everything we do is more of a simple piece. Simple lasts long. Simplicity never goes out of style. We were trying to come up with a name that
it's
was
not
colorless.
Only contemporary.
Exactly.
Right.
Colorless, timeless, and just a masterpiece. And Bodie, I still remember his face. It's like a movie scene. Motion. And we're like, yep, that's it right there, man. That's it right there. He just looked at me and he's like, Motion. And when I heard that, I was like, okay, it's a rap. Started writing logos for it. And then from then on.
It was just the word that was thrown out there? Or did he have like a reason for that?
A meaning behind it. So motion, you know, is movement. So what we were trying to do is start a movement.
Okay.
And with movement, it's like the infinity sign. Like, it's just never ending. You're always moving. You're always moving on to the next thing. There's also an acronym. Making our true instincts our navigation.
You came up with that?
Yeah, absolutely. You didn't come on, man. I was witty, man. They knew to hide their girlfriends from me. I was witty, man. Come on. Yeah, no, but that's sincere to us. Not just me, Bodhi and Josh as well. Making our true instincts our navigation. So that gut feeling you have, follow it. That's your GPS.
Right.
So that true instincts you have, let that guide you to the light. And that's kind of I can't even explain the feeling. It's just so true to heart. It just speaks to everything that's going on in my life as well. You know, stepping outside of fear and jumping into life, owning it.
Got it.
Grabbing it by the you-know-what, you know, and taking control. So that's what it was.
Overcoming that fear and moving forward.
Absolutely.
So
100%.
If it hadn't been Josh and Bodhi coming back, like that nucleus, do you think you would have just still been not making music, just writing in your rhyme book as before?
I'd be writing in my rhyme book. I'd be making music, but I owe they gave me that needed that little slap,
that little pat.
Yeah, they definitely did. So you know, I owe them the world for that. They helped out, of course, yourself as well. I was in a space where I just didn't know if I could. I knew I had the talent to do it,
right,
if I can humbly say so, but I just didn't know if I. You know, life, you always feel like you come close to something, but you're never the one. Like,
right.
You go on a game
Why
show.
Me?
Yeah.
Why
yeah.
should it be me?
You can get the game show tickets, but, you know, Bob Barker isn't going to call you to go up on. You know, it's not going to be you, but you'll be in the. So I always felt that way. But now I'm starting to see, with a little bit of practice and teamwork and the right pieces together, it's really possible. I don't mean to sound so cliche, but like,
no, it
this
is
real.
Especially in today's day and age where there's so much you can do and doors you can knock down that aren't even there. You know, there isn't a path to getting to that brass ring. It's, you do it your own way.
Absolutely.
And there's so many different ways to be able to get your music out there. So with that said, in this day and age, people aren't really buying CDs anymore. We live in a digital world.
Very.
So do you have a game plan of how you want to put your music out? And for the record, for those listening, there's about 2 albums worth of music that you've got recorded.
Yes, yes.
It's not this just is, like you've got is, a couple songs. You've got a catalog.
True. This is true.
That's set up. So how do you plan to move forward and to release music for people to hear it?
So as I like to say, like, it's art, like artwork. So what we're doing is we're creating a nice canvas first, and then we're painting the picture on the canvas. So everything is about branding, genuine branding. Obviously, there's social media.
Right.
You know, you have so many outlets where you can put your music out there. We're trying to do everything from a grassroots standpoint. So I'm not saying we're trying to be like the new Rockefeller, but the way we're set up right now, it's somewhat set up like that.
Okay.
So we have the artists, and then we have the 2 that do the behind the scenes work that put the whole picture together.
Right.
So we're just building a big pot of flavorful gumbo,
right,
to serve to the world. So obviously we're going to use social media to do so. But right now we're working on making sure the infrastructure is airtight. And then we're going to drop some work. I have a song right now out, or a video, Rude Boy Rhetoric, shameless plug. And I'll be doing some of those shameless plugs.
Where can they find the Rude Boy Rhetoric?
Find Rude Boy Rhetoric on YouTube.
Okay.
I'm also on SoundCloud, Haz. You can also find me on other sites like Reverb Nation. You know, we're doing that little bit of networking, so you can find me there. And very shortly, we'll have a video dropping. It's kind of like a lifestyle, almost feels like a commercial, like a doc.
Right.
City Lights.
Great song.
So thank you, good sir. So that's going to be dropping soon, and that will kind of entail the whole business venture, the whole city of Toronto. Shout out to Toronto.
Yeah.
Shout out definitely. To Toronto. The whole city of Toronto, the beautiful melting pot that it is, and it'll put all the pieces together. So we're just working on, you know, introducing the full artist to the world.
Right. So you've got the branding, the hats, the t-shirts, the team. Shout out your boys, the Matrix.
Oh, Matrix man.
So where did that come from? The whole Matrix.
That's life. That's
and they're all the day ones.
All the day ones. That's high school for the most part. We're brothers.
Right.
We're a unit. We all were into the same type of things. Hip hop, basketball, you know, skipping class, you know, the usual. Not messing around. But it was just a real brotherhood. A real brotherhood. When I say real brotherhood, I mean a real brotherhood. Like, you know, at my wedding,
right.
At other weddings. Like, these are people that we really grew up with.
And they know who they are.
And they know who they are. I can't shout out all of them because, you know.
Big team.
But that was the, I don't want to say the crew, that was the brotherhood.
Right.
So it's Matrix. It's a Matrix thing.
So speaking of, like, your crew, the fact that you're married now, how does that affect the type of music you make today? Because back in the day, we were just kind of tracing over, when we chose an instrumental to put on a mixtape, we kind of traced over the style of the people that we liked. Now you're your own man, right, your own right. artist. How does that affect the music you make?
It doesn't. I say that because you naturally go through certain directions in life, whatever your status is, whatever you are. You just naturally navigate through life and you just regurgitate, for a true artist, that is, you regurgitate what you go through. So if I want to be technical, I would say it would make me a little bit more aware.
Right.
A little bit more responsible.
Right.
And you can hear that in some of the music I make.
Yeah.
I try to always drop a little bit of gems,
yeah.
at least in each verse.
Yeah.
And then I try to get a little bit more, you know, theoretically sound with certain songs.
Right.
Makes you just more aware. I made a song where I highlight a verse. I'll let y'all hear that one day, but it's called Take Me Down.
Okay.
So just look out for that. I'm going to leave it like that.
And you're drawing from personal experience, because you don't come from one of those places where you got to tell your rags to riches. I was on the block selling drugs. This was so hard. I got shot. There's my biography by my
record. Right.
Yours is very authentic and like, this is what my life is. And it's like for the blue collar man.
Right. So, and that's the thing, right? We are all everyday people. We all have different experiences. I can only draw from it what's true to myself.
Yeah.
And that's all I can put out to the world. So I try to stay true to that, add a little bit of flavoring to it. You know, sometimes some storylines are a little loosely based, just like any other movie.
It's observant, though. You're observing, you're telling other people's story. It doesn't
absolutely.
Make it fake.
That is true. That is true.
Right.
That is true. It's just taking awareness,
yeah.
taking inventory on your life.
Right.
And not necessarily just how it affects you, but how you can touch others.
Right.
You know, Improvisation is another song I did. Oh, the plugs are just coming in now.
No, Improvisation is probably one
Thank
of my
you.
Favorite.
It's crazy you say that. I spoke to my dad yesterday. Shout out, Pops. He had a real heart-to-heart with me about that song, and I was feeling some sort of way. I was, like, getting, like, teary-eyed.
It affected him.
Yeah, it affected him. It really did affect him.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you got to include that in some way, shape, or form. It's going to resonate with people.
I'm feeling like we got
to
do that.
You have to, yeah.
Absolutely. Plan, that's a plan, that's a plan.
Yeah, there's just the way you allow you used an instrumental that was belonging to someone else,
right.
like a format of it, but the way you let it play out, the way you come in, the way you doubled up the vocals with at the end of the song to really energize the message, it hits a note.
Thank you,
with
good
people.
Sir.
So
I appreciate
you got to use that.
I appreciate that.
How do you choose your music, though, now? Because you're not...
I like these questions.
All of the things you do, it's not what's hot right now, or let me try to come up with the next hot thing. If that's what, you know, this artist from Toronto or wherever is doing, how can I fit into that so that people can hear him and then hear me? Where does your soundscape come from? Because it's very still listenable music. It's almost radio ready, but it's not your, you know, this is what's hot.
Right, right.
Now to do. Where do you choose it from? Very jazzy.
Thank you. I look at that as a compliment. I'm just staying true to myself. I can only give you what I resonated to when I was growing up. I'm just trying to give you that feel.
Right.
I'm just trying to give you music that I like and that I stay true to. So it's all in my DNA when I'm writing. The influences that I mentioned on the top 10 list that I butchered because I forgot certain artists.
You didn't listen to this Tribe Called Quest either, so.
Oh, yeah, that, well, group, for group, yeah. You know, you see, you're picking me apart, man. You're picking me apart. But I'm just trying to give you that feeling that I got when I was growing up. I'm trying to give you what I liked when I grew up and the things that stuck to me and the artists that I liked. And for whatever reason, I like that. I'm trying to, again, cook that gumbo up and give it to you and serve that dish for you. I feel like, and I humbly say this, I feel like I'm one of the last artists to really embody that feel. So I just want to give that back out to the world and let the chips fall where they may.
So do you have any influences today of like, I like what that guy's doing. I want to be, if someone's going to compare me as a type of MC, I want to be put into this category. Is that a conscious effort, or are you just saying, I'm just going to do what I got to do?
No, I just got to do what I got to do. I think that if you start thinking like that, you'll start formulating certain actions that are not true to self. I think if you just stay true to self, when the smoke clears, that lane is there for you.
Right.
I'm pretty sure Nas, when he just started out, he wasn't trying to be the artist who we think he is today. He was just doing the music and getting into a zone, and how many albums later, he's the legend of this artistry. I think you just have to stay true to yourself, but it's hard nowadays, you know, like the music that's put out right now, it doesn't have as long a shelf life.
Yeah.
It's very...
Especially because it's digital, right? Just like...
I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to be nice right now, but some of the music today is just... It's not good.
No, it's not good. I'm wondering sometimes when I listen to it, it's just because I'm older, I'm becoming that grumpy, you know, person. It's like, that's whack. It's not good what I used to listen to.
We're becoming our fathers now.
But that stuff, people can still listen to that and be like Tribe Called Quest is still great. It's like the listening to the Beatles, right?
Tribe Called Quest is Bob the best Marley. Group and Outkast.
Yeah.
The best group.
You still go back and be like, wow, look at what they did.
Yeah, and it's just the time we're in. There's a certain zeitgeist right now going on. Like it's a different era right now, and you can draw from it. You can extract certain things from it because it does influence some of my sounds now.
Right,
you'd be a fool not to like pick up on certain things at work, but the overall feel is the shelf life isn't. It's not. It doesn't feel like it's timeless.
Right,
it just feels like it's a hit. It'll fade away, and then what's the next sound that's going to come and take its place? So,
got it.
You know, that's why I feel so strongly about restoring a certain sound.
Yeah.
Yes.
And aesthetically, your music, what it feels like, it sounds like, is the music of dreamers. So
yes.
The album Dream Deferred, or the project that you were working on, it's an EP, right?
Correct.
Okay. So are you still moving forward with that theme, or are you going to use that as an EP to introduce yourself and then have like an official LP of a different... you showed me the other day an image of something you might be working with. So is the vision changing a little bit of what you want to put out officially and what you're going to do as an EP?
That's a very good question. The title may change. I change my mind very often, but the vision will stay the same. So whatever the title ends up being, it'll be. But long story short, I'm sharing my story. I'm sharing the story of somebody who felt they were on the other side of the fence and literally crawled up that fence, tore the fence down rather, and created a lane for themselves and made it.
Mm-hmm.
So I stand firmly by that, and that's going to be the direction I move into.
Very aspirational.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. Which what it should be, right?
Absolutely. After all of these years... You know, you're hungry. You want more for yourself. And I think what makes it relatable is it's a storyline that everybody can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
Not just music, but, you know, the everyday blue-collar worker. Everybody goes through things, man. That pillow knows the truth. When you go home, your pillow knows the truth. So I'm trying to touch that person.
Right.
I'm trying
to
touch that person.
There's a lot of people in that will, like... that's a lot of audience when you affect them.
Absolutely. And it's real, right? That will never, it's not a style. It'll never go out of style. This is life we're talking about.
Right.
And it's very relatable. So everything we do, we try to make it super relatable.
Nice. All right. So I got some listener questions and some social media questions coming your way that I got to ask you.
Okay.
So let's talk about turnover time. You hear the beat. How long does it take you to come up with a concept? Is it the hook first? Is it the verse first? How do you attack the track?
Every track tells me a different story. I like to start off with direction of the hook, just so I can know the content. And from the hook, I start piecing together certain ideas.
Okay.
I often write my rhymes at work.
And when I go home,
I think them.
And then you memorize it.
So what I do is I think about them, I memorize them, I grab a piece of paper, I write on it, put it in my pocket, I go home, and then I put it into my little rhyme book.
Okay.
And then sometimes I extract certain rhymes based on what I wrote at work.
Okay.
So to answer your question in a more simplistic term, it all depends on the particular song that I'm working on and what it gives me. I don't try to force anything. If I hear a song and right away I have a chorus, I write the chorus and then I build from the chorus. If right away I hear the direction of the song through verses, I'll do the verses and then I'll come up with the hook
whatever
later. Whatever comes naturally. It has to be organic.
Right.
It has to be organic.
Right. Okay. Daf J has a question in regards to lyricism.
Okay.
So do you write with the intent of simply, like, is it when you start writing, is it the act of putting words together that rhyme, or do you intend to have the double meaning, the double entendres? Is that a style that you have, or does that just, do you think it out and think like, I have this double meaning, I got to insert it, or you just, it just comes to you?
That's actually a solid question. So again, that goes back to my book. Mm-hmm. I have certain rhymes that are heavier in entendres and, you know, similes, personification. Again, it just calls for, it's whenever it's called for. Like music, when it hits you, feel no pain. It tells you what to do. I'm a slave to the beat.
Right.
And it tells me what to do. So I don't feel like I'm trying to add layers onto my music or entendres at certain points. I just feel like when you start writing, you get into a rhythm. And you, as I said earlier, you try to sprinkle in certain gems, whether it be an entendre, whether it be a certain cadence I use, whether it be me borrowing lines, which I love to do. I love paying homage to the old school rappers.
Biter.
Right. I'm going to hear a lot of that too, right? Whatever it calls for, I implement it in the music. I really try to keep it simple and organic, but that's a really good question.
Okay. I was thinking about that myself because you want to be as layered as you can be for, you know, artistic sake. Like, look what I did there.
Right.
I connected this thought with that thought. But I wonder for myself, is it come naturally or is it purposeful? So it's always interesting to pick another writer's brain to see if they had an agenda that way.
I definitely take into account how I'm being viewed by the general public when it comes to music. And I've learned that especially when you're comfortable in your art form, you're not trying to prove a point every time you get on the mic.
Right.
And I learned this a lot from Tribe Called Quest.
Right, yes.
They really have a good DNA with their music. They know how to read music. They didn't always jump out the gate super lyrical. Sometimes they would just make
The feeling. Right.
And how do you create that feeling? Sometimes saying less is saying more.
Right.
And I've learned to borrow from them as well. When I just came out as Hazardous, I was more, I'm gonna shove these 16, but I'm angry. I'm gonna Tasmanian devil style. And you start getting more comfortable with your art form, you simplify things, you start harmonizing a little more, you're a little more comfortable.
Yeah.
It's not that you don't have anything to prove, but you're comfortable in your own skin.
Yes.
And you start hearing it.
Yes.
Yeah. So
it comes through.
That's my approach.
I like the harmonizing that you do.
Thank you, good sir.
It shows that level of confidence.
It's that shower music. You know, when you're in the shower, you think you can really sing?
So speaking on that, there was another question on Facebook that I got from someone you may know named Love Hall on
Facebook. I know her a bit.
And she wanted to know if you're ever going to write an R&B song.
You know what? I actually have one out. Another shameless plug. I think I'm plugging the whole EP. It's not out right now officially, but I have a song called Mood Ring. I wouldn't say it's super R&B, but it's definitely one for the ladies. They'll really appreciate that. Let's see where this goes. I mean, I'm open to really anything.
So, Nicole, I love that song, by the way.
Thank you.
I love how you took two different instrumentals and meshed them together almost seamlessly.
Good looking out that you even noticed that. That's big. I like that. That's big.
Nicole Cousins from way back in the day.
Oh, man.
Came out of the woodwork.
Oh, wow.
She said, where do you want to see your career go? What is the end game of it?
That's a very good question. I don't necessarily need the fame. I don't necessarily need the money. If they both come, I will take it and I'll be happy. But I want to touch your life. I want you to say, you know, man, your music really got me through a rough time.
One person can make your life worthwhile by saying that.
Oh, that is the most humbling feeling that anybody could ever experience.
Right.
So for me, my music is so dear to me. Just to know that it has touched a few lives, that to me is worth any amount of money I can get. But don't be mistaken, if I can feed my family with this,
absolutely,
I'm definitely going to do that. But that to me is where the gold is. How am I touching somebody's life? How can I instill confidence in you?
Right.
You know, so I'm learning that music is not about me. No. It's not necessarily about the artist. It's about how the artist touches the people.
Absolutely.
That's why Bob Marley was so big, right?
Right. You make a soundtrack for people's lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So the end game ultimately is to just touch people. At the end of the day, you want to make sure that you've affected somebody through your music.
As many people as possible.
Right.
And you can only do that if it goes a little more global. And then when you go global,
we gotta get you to start performing.
Yeah,
we gotta get you on that stage.
Yeah, we working. Ocean.
So with that in mind, another question was, if you could perform on any stage, where would you want it to be, and what song would it be, of yours that you'd want to perform?
I would love to perform "Hey Young World," and I would probably want to perform it either at a sporting event, like before a significant Super Bowl or no, but be a little more humble here, guys. If I can perform that anywhere, just in front of an audience, I'd be grateful. But if it was like Ground Zero, New York, just bring in that feel back and have everybody be touched by the music, that'll mean the world to me, because I feel like that embodies togetherness and coming together and taking inventory of your life and, you know, just loving again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Last question. Do you read the dictionary to become familiar with words? Because my wife says that she loves the word juxtaposition.
Yes.
But she doesn't know how to use it.
Okay. All right. I see you.
Did you ever do that growing up?
I still do. Even when I post certain things on social media, I make sure I know what I'm talking about, you know? So I'll look up the meaning of it. Like, I know the general meaning of it. You guys don't want to see my Google searches for, like, certain words. He doesn't know what that word means?
What?
Look, I had to make sure, guys. I'm an avid user. Avid. See what I did there? Avid. I'm an avid user of the dictionary. I just want to make sure that I'm sharpening myself. And, you know, I just love language. I love talking to people in whatever language they resonate to and, you know, however it affects them. So if I have to use a big word to attract a certain audience or to, you know, play to that audience, I'll do it. And if I have to simplify things, I'll simplify things. Yes, Daff J, I do read the dictionary.
Can you use juxtaposition in a sentence?
Absolutely, I can use it.
Let's see.
All right, so the juxtaposition between Jay's first album and his last album show growth.
Oh, there you go.
It's as simple as that. Going from a hustler
that
was hand-to-hand Now going from a legend, showing you that you don't need to go hand to hand, there's a juxtaposition.
Nice.
From the lifestyle.
Nice.
I hope that worked.
There you go, Jack.
I hope that worked.
So, there is no greatest artist of all time, but is Illmatic the best album of all time?
Without a doubt. Illmatic is the epitome of hip-hop. It is short. It is sweet.
Succinct.
It is her.
There you go.
H-E-R.
Bringing it back.
Bringing it right back.
I brought that back for Bodhi, because I know he's the big Nas fan.
Yeah, Bodhi and I be getting into some things with Nas, but yeah, Nas, I gotta give it to him.
Yeah,
Illmatic. Nas is that guy. Nas is that dude.
Until Dream Deferred drops.
Absolutely.
There you go. Thank you so much for
this. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. It was 1 hour 45 minutes, but it felt like 10.
It was 1 hour 45?
Yeah.
I thought it was just 10.
There you go.
All right, good.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Y'all. Stay tuned for more music coming out of Motion ENT. Look out for Haz. I'm telling you, it'll be worth your while. And you can email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com. Leave us a review on iTunes. Where can they find more of your stuff? Where should they look out?
So
more shameless plugs. Let's go.
Absolutely. We do YouTube. Type in Haz. You'll see a few tracks there. We're going to be adding a lot more soon to come. Improv is definitely there. Early bird. Yeah, you don't know. You can do SoundCloud. Haz again. We can do... We have Reverb Nation. Haz again. Look out for Haz. And we're going to be adding some more to the roster right now soon. So by roster, I mean tracks. So yeah, just be on the lookout. Motion. We are
kings. Fantastic. Thank you, Motion ENT, for the hat, for the time, and for the Ciroc. It was phenomenal.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back soon.
It's a lifestyle, you know. We came, we saw, we created motion. We came, we saw, we created motion. We came, we saw, we created motion. Born and raised in, home of made men, mommy's firstborn, poised for greatness. The city got its own Californication. Shh.